I can find the show.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Can you hear?
No, I heard the music.
I'm trying.
I can hear you now.
You can hear?
I can hear you now.
Okay, they can hear. Come and pray, Sabrina.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we give you praise for the breakthrough. We honor you and we glorify your name, Father. We thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that has risen against us, we shall condemn in Jesus' name. This is our heritage as the children of God. Father, we ask, Lord, that you touch those that were listening by telephone and have them to dial in again. We thank you, Father, for sending forth your heavenly angels to motivate them to dial in again, Father. We thank you for persons that are in the chat room refreshing, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that the devil can do nothing against your kingdom. We take authority, dominion, and power from our position seated in heavenly places over the strong man on Skype, the strong man over Blog Talk Radio, the strong man over the waves, the prince of the power of the air, the devil, Satan, all witches, warlocks, Satanists, diviners, and sorcerers and such in Jesus' name. We bind them, cage them, chain them with everlasting chains from Jesus Christ. We mute them, muzzle them, and gag them with the blood of Jesus. We sever their agreements that give them power in the name of Jesus. We strip them of all power and authority and territories. And with the blood and the hyssop, we transfer it back to Jesus Christ because all power belongs to God. We thank you, Father, for the preaching of your holy word on this broadcast. We will not spend much time, Lord God, discussing the interruption. We will just go straight ahead with the teaching. We thank you that your word is more powerful than any two-edged sword. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that there is nothing that the devil can do to stop the kingdom of God. We have superior weaponry and superior power. We serve the only wise God. We thank you, Lord God, that the word of God is not bound, but it goes forth with truth, with power and anointing. We thank you, Father, for the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. We break every yoke and every fetter in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that there is nothing that the devil can do to stop your plan, your will, and your purposes. We thank you, Lord God, that Jesus had not only the power to lay his life down, but the power to pick it back up again, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that all power in heaven and in earth is given into the hands of Jesus Christ. We thank you that that is the power that comes to us who believe. We have believed. We have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we reign victorious over every devil, Father, in Jesus' name. There is nothing that the enemy can do to harm us nor to stop us, Father, in Jesus' name. We are victorious. The Bible says that one of us shall put 1,000 to flight and two of us shall put 10,000 to flight. Much more when all of us come into agreement, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the persistent prayers of the saints tonight, Father. We thank you for the outpouring of your power, Lord God. We thank you for the execution of your holy word, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that nothing shall hinder us. Nothing shall stop us. We shall go on further and further, and this broadcast shall grow exceedingly in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that this word is powerful, Lord. We know that the enemy fights what he fears, Father, in the name of Jesus. And this word comes with might, power, and anointing in Jesus' name. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor, Father. We thank you that God's power is supreme over all in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together and give Jesus a praise offering.
Amen. You better call. Yeah, he's back. He's up there. Okay, dears, I just have to describe to you. I've got a new computer, and the new computer's got this 8 thing on it. And so we get on, and then the first thing it had to do was reload itself or whatever that does. And finally, I get up on the board, and it knocks me off, and I'm having all kinds of trouble. So I tried to get up on the old computer, and the old computer we couldn't get any sound out of. So I'm sorry, but I'll tell you, don't buy an 8 if you can get away with it. It's just, it's pitiful. It's not only me that talks about it. From what I understand, a lot of people are having problems with it. So, but here we are, we're up, and that's the most important thing, is that we are up, and you can hear. So, God bless you all, and tonight, we're going to just talk about binding the strong man. And so that's, the devil hates when you're going to show people the word of God. He cannot stand it. He hates it. But we just keep pressing in and see. Now, you can learn something from this because, you know, we could have given up, actually. But you keep pressing in. You try everything. We had to contact Blog Talk Radio. What they were doing is, we were trying to call in on the new computer, and they kept telling us we were already in the thing and knocking us off. I couldn't get through. So the point that I'm getting at is we just kept on until finally we got through, and we have to give God the glory for this. So whenever you've got an obstacle, a spiritual obstacle in your pathway, you have to press through. A lot of people just give up and they just say, well, that didn't work. Well, you see, it's if you've got a very powerful obstacle coming against you, sometimes you have to press harder, and you just don't give up. And so sometimes your warfare is probably bigger than what you have ever experienced before. If you don't get through, call a prayer warrior to pray for you and with you, and keep on pressing, because Jesus is not a failure. Sometimes our faith is what fails. It's not his faith that fails. It's ours. So you learned a lesson a couple of times up here with us that we just keep on until finally we get through. And so we give God the glory. So binding the strong man, it's true, absolutely true, that Jesus Christ left fearful, fearsome spiritual power to his church. And see, when we're having problems like we had tonight, we are trying to do the warfare at the same time we're trying to do the mechanics of this show. And the mechanics of this show for me is much, much harder than the spiritual warfare. But Sabrina and I are both pushing through. So whenever things happen like that, you chime in and you start doing spiritual warfare and binding also. I know that Brother Marshall is probably binding. Now, what she had to do is she had to knock the show off of the air and reschedule a new show. So I'm not real sure that the people over on Facebook would know how to get in. So maybe Nicole can go over and put it up on Supernatural and on the news page for us, the link, and tell them to come on up. So we have power, and now, just like us, you have to learn to use it. And so in Matthew 28:18-20, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I am lo with you always, even until the end of the world." Amen. So he's made a very powerful statement here. And he's telling you that when you put your faith and your trust in him, that he actually has all the power. That the devil does not have the power that you want to give him sometimes. Sometimes the devil has power because you give him the power by having faith that he can do things that he's not supposed to be able to do. And so the way you get around that is you do it through studying spiritual warfare. You study also deliverance. Go back over and recast some of the deliverance tapes that we've done. You study things that we've done on victory. All kinds of teachings up there for you to get your faith built up. And if you're doing something and it isn't working, stop doing it. That means that you're just batting in the air. It doesn't work. You have to do it God's way for it to work. Amen? And so the Lord asked this insightful question. He said, "Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house, spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his goods. Now, this scripture you'll find in Matthew 12:29. How can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods except first you bind the strong man? First you bind the strong man in spiritual warfare. And this is why you hear us say, when we begin to pray for you, we will say, Satan, we take authority over you and we bind your power. We command you to take your hands off of this person in Jesus' name. We cage you and all of your demonic forces. Now, what you're doing is you're arresting the spirits and you're binding the powers of Satan when you do that. Now, once you get the powers of Satan bound, then and only then can you rob his house. Now, what are you robbing his house of? You're taking the spirits that are implanted in your tabernacle, you're binding them up, and you're telling them to get out in Jesus' name. And, of course, they have to obey the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the only thing that a devil has to bow to. The only thing, only name in the universe is Jesus. And so that's why we use Jesus. And Jesus has worked for me for more than 35 years, and he'll certainly work for you. Now, the King James Version says, bind the strong man in Matthew 12:29. Indeed, binding the strong man is the very first principle, as I just explained. Before any warfare opposing the powers, principalities, wicked rulers, evil spirits can be released, bound or released, they have to be bound. You put them in the cage. And then you're able to release your prayer that you're praying. If you're praying for the nation, you say, Satan, I bind your powers over the nation in Jesus' name. Now, I tell you that you're not supposed to go in territorial spirit to warfare unless you're in a group.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not as strong as you think you are. So don't go trying to bind the spirits over the nation and the city and all of those things. We can do it, but we always do it in a group because we need the authority and the power of agreement so that one can chase 1,000, two can chase 2, 10. So don't go trying to do this kind of warfare for the nations and the cities. You can pray for yourself and your family. You can pray for individuals. And when you bind the strong man over what's going on in that situation, according to Matthew 18:18, 19, and 20, then Jesus told us we could enter his house. And so the strong man is what? The strong man is the devil, and then it can be the powers and the principalities that operate over a city. And then a strong man over a person's life can be a ruler over that person's life that's enslaving that person and allowing that person and driving that person to go and drink or to watch pornography or to smoke cigarettes or whatever it is. And so in those situations, what you need to do is you bind the powers and the principalities over that person's life, over the house where that person is and where you're praying, and then you bind you take authority over the powers, principalities, rulers of darkness and wicked spirits, and you bind those. Now, I hope that I'm making this simple. I'm trying to. In Matthew 18, 18, and 19, and 20, the Bible says, "Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, if any of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. For where there are two or three gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them." And so you see, Christianity is far more simple than what a lot of people would want you to believe. Because Christianity was written for the poor working classes of the apostles' day. They wrote it in Greek, the Bible, but it was written in the Greek that the masses spoke. It was not written in the Greek that the colleges taught. And so it's called Koine Greek. And so God wanted the simplest minded person to be able to understand the Word of God. And so, now, I hope that you got it. It says, "Indeed, binding the strong man is the first principle of spiritual warfare." So again, before any warfare, opposing powers, principalities, wicked rulers, and evil spirits can be won and released by the power of the name of Jesus. Now, you've got a wizard, a witch, or a group of people working against you. What you have to understand is this: those people have absolutely no spiritual power unless they get it from Satan. They have no power unless it's being motivated by the powers, the wicked spirits and the rulers in high places, the god of the air, which is Satan, and they can also rule from the principalities, powers from the sea and underground. So the way we used to do it when we were having prayer meetings at the church, we would bind the powers and the principalities over the city, over the church. We would bind the powers of the air, the principalities of the airways, and then we would bind the principalities, the underground principalities. And that way, all of the supernatural powers of the enemy would be bound. And then we would bind any powers that have come into the meeting from any individual person. Because sometimes, particularly in today's world, witches and wizards will try to infiltrate churches. So that way you've got it all bound up. You got the heavenly principalities bound. You've got the powers of the air bound. You've got the powers of the sea bound. You've got the powers of the underworld bound. And if there's anybody in the church that's trying to react with powers, you've got them bound. Now, what does that mean? That means that the human beings that are relying on those powers to attack you or to come at you or to throw curses at you, That means that they physically and spiritually have no powers. They can do nothing apart from their leader, Satan, and his army. So just because you were connected to a big, powerful group of wizards and witches and things like that, and you keep thinking that they're working powers against you, and we keep binding them up, the only reason why they can come back at you is because you're giving powers to reinforcing devils by believing that the powers of God isn't working for you. It's called unbelief, and it's called doubt. And if you, and it also can be you believing something that isn't true. You're believing a lie from the other camp instead of pushing in and believing Jesus. You see, when you want something desperately for the Lord, sometimes you just have to push in. Dr. Sabrina has been out on a long fast again, and she was pushing in for certain things for herself. She never told me what it was. She was talking to Jesus about it. She wasn't resisting the devil as far as I bind you every day. She was on a fast seeking the presence of God. And what happens when you do that? The Bible in Isaiah 58 says that fasting breaks the yoke of the evil one. So that's part of your spiritual warfare, just like we taught. I'm going to teach on fasting too. Yeah. Just like we taught recently on praise and worship, that's part of your warfare. Because, see, once you disconnect from Satan, you're supposed to totally disconnect. You're supposed to clean your mind every time something of that group or whatever you were doing comes into your mind. You drive it out with praise and worship, and you just get your mind on Jesus instead of that. It's over. It's done with. Disconnect yourself. Stop giving the devil power by even thinking about it. And push those thoughts out of your mind. And so she fasted and fasted for, I guess, seems to me a good 3 or 4 weeks she was fasting. And in church Sunday, she got ministry and she got breakthrough, personal breakthrough.
Yeah.
Things that she's been standing against for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And she got some freedom in addition to breaking through on some promises that the Lord had given to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she did that because, you see, when you get in the ministry, God makes you come to his throne more than you can go to the phone of someone else or you can share personally with someone else. Because you're a minister, and you have to know that God will do things for you just like he does things for other people. And so you learn that as you walk with Jesus. Well, you got to get on a fast. You got to have a breakthrough. You're praying. You're doing everything you know to do, but it didn't happen. Maybe that just means that God wants to spend some time with you. Maybe that means you just need to get your breakthrough in praise and worship and getting close to Jesus. He wants to fellowship with you because he can do it the minute you ask, the second you ask. But he's given us little outlines in the Bible where we do have to go for the breakthroughs ourselves, and particularly if you're a minister. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you want to be a deliverance minister, you cannot be a deliverance minister and not fast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to tell you right up front, you cannot do it.
Yeah.
And the reason is because fasting breaks the yoke. And Jesus told us some of these devils come out with fasting. Isn't that what it says, that Dr. Sabrina?
Jesus come forth but by prayer and fast.
Prayer and fasting.
Now, that's not in the NIV Bible because they took that scripture out.
A lot of them they took out. So you've got to fast, because fasting breaks you through into the spiritual realm. Not only does it break the yoke, but it also breaks you in through the spiritual realms so that you can hear God, so that you can hear Him better and clearer in His directions in your life. So don't think you can just swirl around and think you're going to do things in deliverance ministry and not fast. It is not going to work. Now, Satan is not going to allow anyone to destroy his enslaving influence without putting up a very strong opposition, according to Matthew 12:22-33. His dominating power must be deactivated before a Christian can release the devil's caged victims. Now, I want you to pay attention to that. We've done some teaching on caging the devils, and we've also done some teaching on the devil caging humans. Wizards, warlocks, witches, they cage humans also through the inspiration and powers of devils. Now, when a human is caged, what happens is nothing goes right for them. They're like in a bird's cage. And if you've ever seen a bird walks the diameter of the bird cage around and around, and he crisscrosses, but he's very limited about what he can do. He can cry for food, he can chirp, he can sing if he wants to. But he's not free, and he's under the powers of some other person. And so a human can be in a cage, being caged by a wizard, witch, or whatever. But when you come into deliverance, and a deliverance minister says, I break the bird cage, or I break the cage, and I command you to be free, God takes his big fist and breaks the door of the cage and brings you out. You're free. You may not know how to use your freedom yet, but you're free from that. Now, what happens is, if a person, a witch or a wizard, has put Christians in a cage, what we do is we cage him. And he cannot get out. The devil is not strong enough to break any cage that a Christian has put a wizard or a witch in. And what we're doing when we do that is we're denying him freedom of power to work evil powers against the body of Christ, and we're denying him powers to work for Satan, period, because he's limited when he's caged. Demons, whenever we cage demons, demons don't like to be in a cage. And sometimes people will come in and they'll be in sin, and we will pray and cage the demons, but we don't cast them out. We just cage the demons. Well, what good does that do, Sister Pat? Well, what it does is it takes power away from the demons so that they can't drive the humans. And then the humans have their flesh to contend with. Mm-hmm. And they have also God to contend with. And that's when God begins to put pressure on them to call them into the kingdom. And once they come into the kingdom, then you can set the captives free. Amen? So this caging has a lot of things that you can recast. I think we've done two or three teachings on it. But it's a most powerful spiritual weapon is binding and caging the strong man. You bind him and then you arrest him. You take his powers away through binding him, and then you arrest him and put him in the cage. And you take his power, and you bind the strong man, you cage the strong man, according to Matthew 18:19-20. Now, binding and loosening is one of the primary things that new Christians need to learn. You're not going to learn everything in one or two teachings. And nobody expects you to know everything. We expect that when you get in trouble, that you call Blog Talk Radio and you say, "Here I am again, guys. I need help." Nobody thinks anything about that because we've all been through it ourselves. Do you think that we got free with one deliverance? No. No. It takes deliverance plus teaching. Now, here's what happens. A lot of times, people need a lot of deliverance, and they need an awful lot of teaching. And so what they do is they'll come up here to Dr. Holliday and Dr. Sabrina and Marshall, and they'll say, "I need deliverance," and we begin a deliverance on them, and we tell them very specifically what to do. And what we tell them is, we tell them to turn the Word of God on and play it over themselves in their house at night. And then what we do, we tell them very specifically to recast the program so that they can hear it again and they can hear their own deliverance. And when they do that, they'll even get more deliverance, by the way. And then we tell them to read the Bible and to do the worship, to do the praise. All of these things that we're teaching you are things that you will eventually incorporate into your lifestyle as a Christian. But here's what happens to us. They come up one time and they say, "I need deliverance, and I've got this and I've got that," and we minister to them. And then we say, "Now be sure to call us back next week with a report." Now, it's through those reports that we know how you're doing, because we've walked down these avenues many times, and we know the signs when somebody's doing well, and we know the signs when somebody's not doing so well. And so you just don't call back. And so then we say to each other, "I wonder why so-and-so, we haven't heard from them in a long time." Well, you know what happens? They get worse off. They get worse off. If you're under a doctor's care, for instance, and you come up and you ask for deliverance, and we ask you if you're under psychotropic drugs, and you say no, then we believe you. But if you are and you say no and you continue to take those drugs after deliverance, you're going to get in bad shape. Now, you can't get off of psychotropic drugs all by yourself. It was a doctor that put you on there, and it's a doctor that has to help you off of it. And he has to wean you off of it. And if you suddenly just stop taking it, you can become suicidal or you can become murderous. Now, we never tell anybody to stop taking their psychotropic drugs. We tell them to find a doctor that will work with them to wean them off of them. And then we can do deliverance on them. Psychotropic drugs is not an answer to anybody's problem. All it does is make you into a zombie, and it makes you dependent on the doctor, and all it does is it turns you into a drug addict. That's all it does. And then after you've been on it for a while, it doesn't even work anymore. So we do the best we can with the time that we have with you, and we fully expect that you would have enough interest in your deliverance that you would plow in to the recasting of the tapes, that you would learn day by day, little by little, so that you can very soon become a part of the ministry of praying for other people. You can't go around and pray for other people unless you have your own spiritual warfare in tow. You have to have a leader that already has it all under control. Because if you do, you're going to get under attack. It's that easy and simple. I've seen people in churches start home prayer groups. And the next thing you know, we're having to go over to their house because witches have invaded the prayer meetings and invaded them and planted their houses with objects. I mean, this is not a simple thing. It's very serious, and you have to be trained to be a worker in the field. And God is not going to elevate anyone until they're ready to be so. Oh, you might get some people following you, but I'm telling you, you better fast and pray about things like that. Amen?
Amen.
Dr. Sabrina, we've been down the pathways, both of us. Amen? Mm-hmm. So, if you want to defeat the devil, if you want to imprison his territory, and if you want to release the power to defeat the devil, then you have to do it God's way. You can't just all of a sudden, because you've heard Dr. Sabrina say, we bind you, and you just go to binding. You're just wasting your time, because it doesn't work, because you can repeat the same words that we're saying. It works because you get next to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is in the battle, and he's standing in front of you. He's defeating the devil. Amen? So joining the battle scripturally, we can be victorious during the Word of God, and it will enable you to chase the demons. And then they will flee from you, according to James 4:7. You know, I know I was up on one of the talk shows some time back, and a guy called in, and his entire family was involved in, they were involved in witchcraft. And so I did some deliverance over that young man, told him to call back next week, which he did. And he called back, and he started calling back regularly. And when I left the show, the people that took over the show, they told him that they wanted him to become a part of their team, their deliverance team. And so next thing you know, the guy is going into his witchcraft family, casting devils out of his mom and his daddy, casting devils out of his sisters and his brothers and his friends. And the next thing you know, his head is being pounded in by the attacking devils. Because first place, he wasn't trained to do that. And the second place, he did not know defense. And these guys would make fun of him. And he'd say, well, I don't want to do it anymore, because, you know, it's hard on me. And they would say, they would laugh at him and say, you're just a chicken. You just You ought to grow up and be a man. Well, see, this isn't what that's all about. He's not just a chicken. He's just a little guy that came out of witchcraft and Satanism, that some stupid men that don't know what they're doing engaged him into spiritual realms that he didn't know how to handle. And so I'm just telling you, just be very careful and seek God about what you do in the spirit realm, okay? So Jesus said in Matthew 12:22-33, first find the strong man. Satan is not going to let you do anything in the kingdom of God without putting up a very powerful, strong resistance. He has to be neutralized before you can release his captives. Now, here's the thing. You see, this is why we have a place called Blog Talk Radio. This is why we have a church in Jacksonville. This is why we have a web page with a lot of MP3s up there for you to listen to and recast. This is why we have all these articles for you to read. There's so much information that has been put forth in this ministry that I've only got half of it up, by the way, as I speak to you. But there's enough to keep you pretty busy. You shouldn't be walking around with an empty mind. You ought to be going and studying. And when you recast a show, have your pencil and paper there taking notes, just like you're in a seminary class. And if you'll do things like that, you'll walk out of whatever you're in pretty quickly. Now, in Luke 11:22, the Bible says in the Greek, the word is skullon, bind. Skullon means to bind. It means to strip arms, stripped from a foe. That's what that word means. Well, I missed something. Let me go and do the whole thing. Once bound, then Satan enters freely into the person's tabernacle or their body, and he carries off Satan's possessions. So Jesus Christ is the deliverer. Jesus is the deliverer. And when the person is totally delivered, then Satan loses his control. Some people will say to you, well, why does it take so long for people to get delivered? It's because there's parts of them that they haven't given that part of their life and that will to Jesus to go and clean that section of their lives up. Jesus can do it like he did Legion, which was 2,000 to 6,000 demons. But if the person doesn't subject their lives to the Word of God, then those demons will just come back. And so the King James Version calls it the spoils in Matthew 12:29. And the Greek word for spoils occurs in two forms, diapazo and harabzo. And I'll spell them for you. It's diapazo and harabzo. And these two words in the Greek means intensive spoiling and plundering and snatching away. So in other words, Jesus is going in and snatching away those devils. He's plundering them out of the body. He's spoiling their nest, and he's intensely doing it. And then in Luke 11:22, the Greek word for scullion, it means arms stripped from a foe. So he's taking away their weapons at the same time. And to put it simply, Satan is stripped of his weapons. The Greek word dio means to literally tie, fasten, arrest, and paralyzed. And the Christian reclaims everything that Satan has stolen. Therefore, Christians aggressively binding the powers of demons prohibits them to carry forward any of their assignments. So you stop them. You say, stop in the name of Jesus. However, they had a problem sometimes discerning the source of the power of the cage. And we teach the power of the cage. In Luke 11:21-22, Satan is stripped of his weapons. All that he has previously captured is reclaimed. When the demon is bound, it is prevented in carrying out his assignment. The Greek word dio means literally to tie it up or fasten it. And then the last part of that scripture means to restrain or immobilize. So what it means is Satan's power is bound. Satan's power is bound. Then Jesus takes his possessions, which are demons, and he takes them away. And you see, the whole point of all of this is that you must see the power of Jesus in this all. And that's why we zero in on the power of Jesus, and we tell you about the power of Jesus so much so that you get it in your mind that Jesus is more powerful than anything on this earth. He's more powerful than technical spirits. A technical spirit is just an object. It's a thing that's made from an object, a material. It's not more powerful than God. It's not more powerful than Jesus. A robot is not more powerful than Jesus. A computer is not more powerful than Jesus. Nothing on this earth is more powerful than Jesus. There is no human being on this earth that's more powerful than Jesus. There is no wizard, no witch that's more powerful than Jesus. He is the power of the universe. He has all power on this earth, and he has all power in the universe. And Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that he wants to give us his power for our own protection. So if you're harassed, if you're attacked, it's because you are believing a lie. And it's because you need to listen as much as you can. Let that word play over you day and night like we tell you. And you need to call for prayer, and you need to call Blog Talk so that everyone that prays with us can connect in and they can say, oh, yeah, there's so-and-so. I know her. I prayed with her before. I guess what I need to do is I need to pray for her more this week because she called in. And so now, is everybody hearing this message? Everybody's hearing? Because I'm getting ready to change the format. And what I would like you to do is to put your prayer request up there. Put your prayer request up. If anybody is up on the chat room or listening and you want to call in and give us a comment about your experience or something that you've learned or you need prayer, whatever, call in. And you can also call in for deliverance or miracles. You know, God is gracious, put a scripture up. She says, Psalms 114, verse 7. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which is turned into a rock, standing water. Now, the flint, like fountains of water. Now, you see, there's another scripture that says, the devils do believe and they tremble. Just to get a mind picture of this, in this case, the whole entire earth trembles at the presence of the Lord. There's a scripture over in Revelation where the wicked ones, when Jesus is coming back, they run and they hide in the mountains, and they say, mountains fall on us. They are so terrified of the Lord. And see, this is another area of teaching, I believe, that might be well for us to teach on, is that people, they don't reverence God quite enough, you know. They really don't reverence God. But God knows that He came to help us. He doesn't want to terrify us. I mean, I know people that say, oh, Lord, please, please, please show me a demon. Well, you know, the Lord has your eyes hidden from some of those things because who knows what you can take. You might think that you can take seeing some of this stuff, but you can't. If God were to open up your eyes and you would look all around you any time of the day or night, sometimes you would just be terrorized at what you see. Amen? So the telephone number up here, Dr. Sabrina will put it up. It's 805-292-0300. 805-292-0300.
And now I'm going to go seek
and find Marshall. Let's see. Marshall?
Hi there, Pat.
There's Marshall.
Hi, Marshall.
Hi, Dr. Sabrina.
Hi.
Hello, Marshall. The devil hates for people to talk about his defeat. But I'm going to tell you something. God loves it because if God's people can just get tuned in to the power of God and the defeat of the devil, gosh, we'd have a big battle won, wouldn't we?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Marshall, do you have anything to add to all of that?
Jesus said it's finished.
He said it's finished. That's right. And that meant that it is finished, my friends. That's exactly what it means. It is finished. And I just give God the glory that He called us, because He just uses us like a little water hose, you know. It's not that we are great and mighty. We're just like anybody else, and we miss it too at times. But He has a lot of patience with us, Marshall, when we miss it. And He just sends us back. Amen. I have a headset and I have a mic. We weren't having problems with the headset tonight. What we were having is we had a computer that didn't have any sound, and they wouldn't let us connect with our other computer. And we were trying to communicate with them, let us connect in on this other community, and they wouldn't. And finally, they had to stop the show and reconnect us and restart a new show is actually what happened. But I'm sorry, gang, we were having problems. They ought to have some way that if you've got several computers that they'd let you connect into, you know. But I'm not in charge down there, right? Well, you know, if you've got a computer, you can probably hear better if you have a headset. Dr. Sabrina uses a headset. And in addition to that, you can participate on the chat room where you can't participate. I don't think you can participate with the phone. So that's we have a place where people come up and they can chat with us and leave notes and talk to each other on the chat room. So that's another advantage of having that. I believe you can do all of that on an iPad also. I went up on the iPad today and recast a show, so I know that I can get into the chat room, and I can also hear it. I haven't tried to type in the chat room, but I imagine you can. So the telephone number is 1-805-292-0300. And we want to talk to you. And if you've been up here getting deliverance, don't back down and say, well, you know, I have this or I have that, but I don't want to call in. That is not the voice of God talking to you. That's the voice of the evil one. Because when you call in and you get prayer, you get stronger and stronger. Each time you see the Lord do something for you in prayer, you're going to get stronger and stronger. So we want you to call in, whether you think that, oh, well, I'm going to make the decision. No, call in. If you've been going through deliverance and you don't think you need any prayer, call in and give us a testimony. Because we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And let me tell you something, guys. A lot of you wait until the last few minutes to call in. Now is the time to call in when we're giving out the phone number. Because when you call in at the last minute, we a lot of times just don't have time to minister to you because we're going off the air. Call in when you get the number, and then you'll get free. Amen? Amen, Marshall?
Amen. It helps.
Amen. It helps.
Yeah.
Help me get the Lord to work with people.
Yeah. Dr. Sabrina, you have something to add to all of that?
Yes. You know, some people have a mistaken thought in their mind that if they call in, it means they're weak in faith or that they don't have enough faith or that they're doing really poorly now or something on that order. And that's not the truth. You see, the Bible says one of us can put 1,000 to flight and two of us can put 10,000 to flight. And what was necessary while I was in service Sunday, I kept hearing the Holy Spirit say, you need agreement. And he said it to me repeatedly in the same ear. You need agreement.
It wasn't that I didn't have faith to receive what I needed from God. It wasn't that I didn't have faith for deliverance. That it wasn't that I didn't know the word. I just needed some agreement and prayer. And once I got the agreement, I got the breakthrough a lot faster. If I had kept trying to plug it in myself, it would have been a good long while before I got that breakthrough. I got it a lot faster because I got agreement on Sunday. And some of you just do not understand the power that's in agreement. When we all come together, you get your breakthrough faster. So you sit there and you listen to the broadcast and you listen to the broadcast and you pray some and you say, oh, I don't need to call in. That's just not the truth. There are some simple things that you're believing God for that you could get and obtain faster and get on to the next thing if you would call for prayer so we can all be in agreement for you. There is power, much power available in agreement. We've talked about this before, but I still don't think you quite grasp it. There are things that you are struggling with that you would get further in faster if you would just call in and ask for agreement and prayer. Agreement brings the results you need faster than just trying to do it on your own. And even during the week, people are thinking about the broadcast, and the Holy Spirit brings to their mind someone that was prayed for and has them to begin to pray on your behalf. You miss that blessing if you don't come up for prayer. So I'm encouraging you to call in for prayer, whether you think you need it or whether you don't. Amen? Just humble yourself and call in for prayer. Amen?
Well, Sabrina, can you talk to them about the fact that even though you're older, you and Brother Marshall both can talk about this, even though we're all older in the spirit, that sometimes we need prayer too?
That's always the case. As long as you're on this side of heaven, you're going to need prayer. As long as you're on this side of heaven, you're going to need deliverance. The Bible says healing and deliverance is the children's bread. Jesus said for us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. That means healing and deliverance is every day. It's an everyday affair. And when you are in the ministry, people are constantly warring against you. Even saints that don't know any better because they're ignorant and they're misguided and misled. And so, therefore, you're constantly doing battle. You constantly are opposing the devil. So you need prayer for yourself. You need prayer for other people that you're prayer in agreement with your prayers for other people's breakthrough, prayer for your own family. Prayer for the simple needs of your own life, and that does not include all the other issues that God has you praying for. When you're like Brother Marshall and Dr. Pat and myself, there are other issues that other people are not trained enough to attack in the spirit realm that God has us giving our attention to. So in addition to the regular things that most people pray about, we have additional prayer burdens. So we constantly need prayer. We're constantly under attack. We constantly have to stay under the blood. We can't take our armor off. We're always wearing it. Not to mention, we have family members and relatives that in their ignorance fight against us. The Bible talks about the importance of words and that words are spirits. And when people say things against you, they attack you. And the Bible says that those wounds go down into the belly. They are wounds. Words cause wounds down in your innermost being. And when those wounds come, spirits enter in with those wounds. The trauma allows for spirits to enter in and to attack you. So periodically, deliverance ministers in particular, and all ministers should, get deliverance because God has to give you a... You see, God never intended for people to be islands unto themselves. He intends for us to function as the body of Christ, with the members giving support to each and every member. The ministers of the gospel need to be able to come before other ministers of the gospel and get deliverance from the things that attack them, especially from our family members. The wounds that come from your family and your close friends are the most difficult ones to deal with because your heart is seriously involved, especially when you're ministering and you're warring on behalf of someone that you care deeply about. So what believers do not understand is how much they need to lift this ministry up in prayer and how much they themselves need deliverance. You have more spirits in you than you realize. When you were conceived, you got a truckload full. Your relatives saw to that. And then the devil continued to work from that point forward. So what I'm saying to you is you must needs be called up for prayer periodically. If you have not called into Blog Talk and asked for prayer in a while, it's your turn tonight. You need to call in. You need to ask for prayer, even if you don't think you need it. Because the truth of the matter is, as long as you're on this side of heaven, you're going to need it. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Mark, what do you have to say?
Well, no, Pat, there were two times that... You know, Blog Talk wasn't going forth like tonight. And I was praying, talking to the Lord.
All of a sudden, I heard a little voice.
Said, go get your wife to agree with you in prayer. Of course. So I did. And each time, the Lord honored that. Because that's his word, Matthew 18:19. He said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven. And I think that's why the devil's so busy trying to get people to be at odds with one another. You know, like a husband and wife, if they're not completely in agreement, it says it hinders our prayers in 1 Peter 3:7. So it's really important to get over the differences. You know, people don't always see things exactly the same way. And so I'm grateful that the Lord honors that, and I'm going to be first up to bat here. I'm going to say, I'm calling in for prayer for me and my family because we could use it. Thank you very much, as the Holy Spirit leads.
Yeah, that's a very good thing.
I mean, seriously, because, you know, I have family members that they have to put up with me. Let's put it that way.
Oh, I don't know. Were you that bad?
We're all human.
I'm human, that's right. And I've been that bad in the past, and I'm working on it with the help of the Holy Ghost. And he promises, and it's really good. I love the promise in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. But, you know, this isn't all just about our children or spouse or something. It says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. Well, that's, you know, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So he's been doing a work. And it's been going on ever since I came to the Lord, but he's been doing the work. And sometimes I come across some of these scriptures. You know, years ago I hid some of them in my heart, like the one in Matthew 15:13. But the verse just before it, kind of goes with it. And it's not just for a family, but it's for everybody. Matthew 15:13 says, greater love, this is Jesus speaking, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's really amazing because Jesus did. He laid down his life for us. Even when we weren't particularly friendly to him, he laid down his life for us. But if you go to the verse before it, this is Jesus speaking also. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh, my. Oh, my. Do we love everybody like Jesus loved us? Are we willing to lay down everything? So, I mean, that's very, very challenging. And it's and to always walk in peace and to never be grumbling or complaining. There was a seasoned saint that I had the privilege of hearing years ago, and he and I don't want to keep people from praying for me and for the family, but this brother, the things he didn't say spoke volumes. But it took me years in reading the scriptures that, oh, that's why he said it that way. When he was thrown in prison, this is a fellow who lived in Nepal, and he grew up as a Hindu, and he became a Christian, and when you change your religion back then, you had to go to prison for a year. And if you caused somebody else to, quote-unquote, change their religion, you had to go to prison for another 6 years. So he was in prison for 7 years because everybody he came across came to believe in Jesus. I mean, everybody. They were terrified of him. He was listed as the most dangerous criminal that they had because he caused everybody, the guards. And so he was put in the stocks outside with the criminally insane. And at the end of his stint out there in the stocks, not only was every single one of those criminally insane people in their right mind, they all believed in Jesus. And when he was talking about it, because it says do everything without, you know, murmuring and disputing or something like that in Philippians 2, where it is 2:13, it's close to that anyway. He said it was not a very cold winter. This is in Nepal, near the Himalayas, okay? It was not a very cold winter. There was just a little bit of snow on my head and on my shoulders. We don't even think about, you know, I mean, anyway, so I'm not there yet. Thank you, Jesus. But he's teaching me. He's teaching me about how to control my tongue and... because out of the abundance of the heart speaks. So I need to have my heart circumcised and my seed. And it says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth the favor of the Lord. I think that's in Proverbs 18 somewhere. I think that's where it is. But I have received the favor of the Lord in having a bride. I mean, it's she has to put up with me. Yeah, I have my idiosyncrasies. I'm still working out my salvation with fear and trembling, okay?
Amen. We all are.
Amen.
All right, you want to read the prayer, Pastor? You want me to stop?
Well, let's go and look and see.
No, he's asking for prayer.
I'm asking for prayer for me and my family.
You answer.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Brother Marshall and for his family, for his wife Nancy, for their children, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, that they are covered in the blood of Jesus and that they are blessed, Father. We thank you, Father, that they love the Lord and that some of them are coming to know you for themselves. Some of you, them, Father, are still sorting out what is God and what is not God, and how to follow God and what they should do in their own personal lives. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for your great mercies to be upon their lives. We ask, Father, as they seek you out and as they search for themselves and as they try to find answers for their lives, Father, that they see you and that they hear your voice and that they are willing to submit themselves to your words, to its laws, to its statutes, to its principles, to its precepts, to its testimonies, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that with great mercy you lead them forth as you lead the sheep through the pasture, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you that you give them green pasture, Lord God, and still waters, that you restore their souls, Father. We thank you, Father, for binding up the foolishness that is in man, in Jesus' name, and replacing it and exchanging it for your very wisdom, Father, in Jesus' name, and each one of them. Father, we take authority and dominion and power over the evil treasures that may be hidden in any one of them's heart, Father, in Jesus' name. And we ask for that divine exchange, Lord God. for the exchange for the evil treasures that may be hidden in a heart, Lord God, for the good treasure that is in yours, Father, in Jesus' name. We desire to have hearts like yours, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I ask that you touch their eyes, Father, that they not see each other commonly, just as family members, as they always have in the past, Father, but begin to see each other, Lord God, as you see each of them in Jesus' name, that they will reverence you, Father, for having such a person as their family member, that they will begin to respect the Jesus in each person, Father, in Jesus' name, that they will no longer, Lord, just look upon the flesh, but that they will see the glory of God shining from within the person in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you and I give you praise, Father, for each of them individually and the personalities that you have given to each one of them, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that they will each be single-minded towards you, Father, in Jesus' name. I ask, Lord, that you increase their love one toward another, Father, in Jesus' name. Increase the family unity, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, upon this family, we call for the commanded blessing of God in Jesus' name. Father, you say it brings joy to your heart to see the brethren dwell together in unity. We thank you, Father, for the unity that brings the anointing in Jesus' name. We thank you for that yoke-breaking anointing, yoke-destroying anointing, Father, in Jesus' name. We remove the heavy burden from them, Father, in the name of Jesus, because the Word of God declares that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Father, as our brother is the head of that household, he's the priest of that home, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask, Father, for an extra endowment of wisdom, Father, that he will know when to speak and when not to speak in Jesus' name, when to put forth wisdom and when to withhold counsel, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that he will begin to sense, Lord God, the burdens that are on each family member, Lord God, not just by natural knowledge, but by supernatural intervention, Father, in Jesus' name, that your Holy Spirit will reveal to him, Father, the things that he needs to know that he might stand in intercession properly for each member of his family, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you and I give you praise for speaking to him, Lord God, through your holy word, Father, for showing him how he can go to the next level in ministering to his wife, Father, as her spouse, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you for the betrothed love between them, Father. I thank you for stirring up that new passion in them, Father, one for another in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, for refreshing courtship between them, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you and I give you praise for a blessed, sweet courtship between them, Father, that's better than it has ever been before, better than the initial courtship that brought them together, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for sanctified courtship now, Father, in their relationship in Jesus' name. I thank you for the honey of your holy love being poured out in their hearts, one for another, Father, that sweetness coming forth, Lord God, just as you made the honey in the honeycomb. I give you praise and glory and honor for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you that they are blessed. We declare them to be blessed, Lord God, and that everything they touch shall prosper and do well, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, for their blessing and their bounty into the work of God, Father. I thank you, Lord God, for touching their lives and their finances, Father, that they be blessed there also, and in material things, that they be blessed there also, and in family members that are distant and far away, that are not yet in the kingdom of God, that they search them out, Father, that they might see what a godly family looks like, Father, that they might choose to walk in that path in Jesus' name. I thank you for bringing the relatives from distant lands, Father, from distant places, Father, to them, Lord God, so that they can see that Jesus is Lord for themselves. I thank you that this time together, Lord God, will produce conviction in the lives of the ungodly, that they might choose deliverance, that they might choose righteousness in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that you will set this family, Lord God, as a light upon a hill that cannot be hid in their own clan, even with family members that have never met them, Father, in Jesus' name. I give you praise for their uplifting, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that this is a beautiful and a wonderful thing that you have desired for some time, Lord God. And I thank you that as Brother Marshall listens to this prayer, that he begins to intercede, Lord God, on behalf of family members that he does not even know, that are related by marriage and by birth. I thank you and I give you praise for the newcomers that will come into their family, Lord God, because of the work that you will do. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, and Father, we love you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Praise the Lord.
Time, right? Amen. Well, Marshall, we've got some calls. And let's take this call. 514, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Am I here?
Yes.
Okay, we have to turn down our computer.
Yes.
Turn your computer down and your radio. Hello.
Okay, we did that. Hello, okay, this is you...
Kasha.
Hi, Kasha.
Hi. I'm here with Pedro, and I'm sure you remember us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you really spoke to us at the beginning of the show when you were talking about the pharmaceuticals. He's hooked on them, the ones that they put him on. He's hooked on them, and they have really bad side effects. Psychosis, and the day before yesterday, he overdosed on some, but he's back home, yeah. So he needs prayer to have the strength to get off these things.
Okay, now, Kasha,
he's afraid to get off of them because I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
He cannot get off of those things apart from having a doctor that will work with him to lower him down.
Yes, he has an appointment on Tuesday.
Yes.
He was actually supposed to go the day before yesterday, but he to the doctor. And that's when he did the overdose, so he missed his appointment. Now he's got another appointment on Tuesday, and I told him, you know, you've got to ask the doctor how to wean off of these. But he's terrified of the doctor and so afraid of the appointment that he did the unthinkable by overdosing. So I really don't understand this.
Okay. Well,
he's just terrified even listening to this whole show. He's just scared all the time.
Okay. Ask him if he'll talk to Dr. Pat. He's my friend.
Okay. She says she wants to talk to you. She's your friend. She's not going to hurt you, sweetheart. Okay? Okay. He nodded his head. Just a second.
Hello?
Hey, Pedro. This is Dr. Pat.
Yes.
Pedro, I want you to know, first and foremost, you are a man of God, right? And God loves you. He really does. And you think that you failed God. All of us have failed God. But God is big enough to overcome all of our failures. That's why he came to earth, is because he loves you. And he gave us you because we love you too. Now, it's not something that you cannot overcome. Dr. Sabrina is a pharmacist, and I'm going to ask her to encourage you, and you pray this with me just before she talks to you. Say, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Help my fears.
my fears
to go away.
I didn't hear.
To go away.
Please take. To go away.
Yeah, the fears to go away.
To go away.
And give me faith. Okay. Now, I'm going to pray, and then Dr. Sabrina's going to talk to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Father, I lift up Pedro, and I bind every spirit of fear and terror and insecurity, sorcery, hypnosis, rebellion, every spirit of suicide, every devil that has come to attack him, I bind every witch's garland around his neck. I cut it from that person in the name of Jesus, and I cage these things. And Satan, I command that you loose his mind. The Bible says that God came to restore us, and we release restoration over Pedro's mind, body, soul, faith, everything that he has. We release restoration. We thank you, God, that you love him and that you are able to deliver him. I've seen you deliver people. And you, spirit of fear, I hate you. And I bind you now and speak it into his voice. I forbid you to continue to speak to him in any way. And Father God, I ask that you put warring angels all around him to war for his spirit and to war for his flesh. And Father God, to war against every devil that is trying to rob, kill, and destroy. And Father God, we release over him success and love and security in Jesus Christ. We release over him faith today. We ask that you give him a super abundance of faith, God. More faith than we need, and we'll give you praise and glory. Now, Dr. Sabrina is going to talk to you for a few minutes about that.
Pedro?
Yes?
Okay. There's some things I want you to know. The
mm-hmm.
first thing is, do you want to be free?
Yeah,
do
I
want
to be
want...
free.
Yes, do you want to be?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was that a yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you desire to be free, the Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart. All you have to do is want to be free and to ask the Father in Jesus' name to set you free. When you ask him to set you free, the process will begin. The process, listen to me, the process of getting free will begin. It's a process. You take it a step at a time. This is not a quantum leap you're going to make. This is just a step. The medications that you are on have some severe side effects, but Jesus can walk you through the side effects, okay? He can walk you right through to the other side, and he can strengthen you as you move along. But this is a process. It's a lengthy process, okay? So don't expect the doctor to just drop everything. Expect increments of strength, and then increments and increments and increments of deliverance. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Little by little, every day you get a little stronger. Every day your mind gets a little clearer. Every day you come closer to being the Pedro you've always been, okay? This is a process. So if you have a process going, you don't stop before you get to the end. You just keep going a little bit at a time. It's like walking from one room to another room. You don't stop halfway there and say, this isn't working. You keep walking till you reach your destination, right? Right? You keep walking.
That's okay. Lord Jesus, stand right in front of him. Right
in Jesus' name.
Stand in front of him, Jesus. We're in control of this. We're not. You will not rest in him.
Make yourself microscopic.
Cough him right into the cage.
Yeah, in Jesus' name.
Take a deep cough and cough him into the cage.
Yeah.
That's good.
Come on up in Jesus' name.
Come out of the mind. Loose the mind. Every spirit, loose the mind. We find sorcery.
In Jesus' name.
You will loose him totally.
Every medication that Pedro's been taking, I take authority, dominion, and power over the side effects. I bind each side effect individually with fetters of iron, with cords. And I cage each side effect. I bind the spirits that use the medication to speak as a doorway to speak into Pedro's mind and heart. I crush you with the blood of Jesus Christ. I mute you, muzzle you, and gag you. And I strip from you your power and the territory you have taken. And I, with the blood of Jesus and the hyssop, I transfer that power back to Jesus Christ, because all power belongs to God. Now, Pedro, as you go through, don't stop going forward. Go forward and not backward. Even if it seems like I'm not making the progress I want to make, you keep making the effort to go forward, and Jesus will keep helping you. Just like when there's a baby that's learning to walk, at first you stand in front of him and you hold both of his hands and he tries to make steps. That's where you are in the process right now. Blog Talk and everybody up here is holding your hands and Jesus is standing right in front of you and you are making steps just like a child that's trying to walk again. It's pointless for the child to fall down and say, I can't walk, because that's not true. He can. All he has to do is get up again and try again. And you keep doing it until you reach your destination and you can stand tall on your own. Just don't quit. As long as you don't quit, you will succeed. Okay?
Yes.
And this. Okay, and this goes not just for you, but for everyone that is listening. You just don't quit. No matter how slow it gets, you just don't quit. All right? We love you, and we're here for you all the time. And we'll all be praying for you all the time. And when it gets tough, say, Jesus, have somebody from Blog Talk pray for me right now. And we will. Even if we're not up on the air. Amen?
I'll pass you word, Tasha, okay?
What did he say?
He's going to hand it to Tasha.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello,
Tasha.
Hi.
What he
okay,
has to
thank
do.
You for praying. Okay.
Katya, I want you to put praise tapes on. Put praise tapes and worship tapes. Let him listen to music and the word and the scriptures. And just tell him that the devil is a liar and God loves him and he can't bring
him through. I had been doing that. So I don't understand what went wrong.
Well, you know, he's afraid, but tell him that Jesus is with him. Brother Marshall, do you have something for them?
Yes. In Exodus 14:14, it says, "The Lord will fight for you. Hold your peace and go forward." Because the Israelites had a lot of fear, and they had to just do that. They had to know the Lord is fighting for each of us, and they just had to go forward. And that's what Dr. Sabrina is saying, okay? And I have
I heard what you said about fasting, too, so we'll go on a fast, or at least I will. And I'm going to his appointment with him that he has on Tuesday.
Okay. And I think he'll be blessed if you can read a couple verses to him out of Psalm 34. And if you can get him I don't know if he can read, but if he can, that would be great. In Psalm 34, especially verse 4, but there's a couple of verses around that are awesome. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together," in verse 3 of Psalm 34. Verse 4 says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." In verse 5, "They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." Now, I'm telling you this because I've been kind of where Pedro is in the past, myself. Okay, I've overdosed. I've had a spirit of insanity cast out of me, and I felt it leave me. Okay, it wasn't me. I was controlled for decades by a spirit of fear. I didn't know it was me. I didn't know. I just needed to repent. And somebody just needed to cast it out, and then it was gone, but I had to keep it out. And that says, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And that's where keeping our mind stayed on what the Word says, that Jesus says, "I've loved you with an everlasting love," in Jeremiah 31:3. "I will never leave you nor forsake you," in Hebrews chapter 13, I think it's around verse 5. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." You know, and together with God, nothing shall be impossible. It's not hard for the Lord to deliver Pedro or me or anybody else.
No.
All right?
Mm-hmm. Brother Marshall, pray about that insanity. Mm-hmm.
That's definitely that's happening.
Go ahead.
Even before the pharmaceutical.
Go ahead, Brother Marshall.
Father,
do you want me to hand the phone back to him at all? Or?
No,
okay,
fine. Whatever, if he wants to listen, if, I don't know if he can hear, that's fine.
Do you want to listen on the computer, or do you want to have the phone back? He said he'll listen on the computer. We'll sit there so you can hear. Okay.
Whatever he's comfortable with. I'm not here to bother him.
Okay.
I don't have any problems with Pedro at all.
He's going to listen on the computer.
Because guess what? God created Pedro for his pleasure. He's not here by accident. If you read Psalm 139, God knew him when he was formed in his mommy's belly, okay? God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make junk, okay? And that's something I didn't know for a long time, that God doesn't make junk. Everybody's here for a specific reason. And we're created by him and for him and for his good pleasure. And every spirit that would be contrary to thinking that way is from the other side. It's not a blessing, okay? So right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, I come before you and I ask you to deliver Pedro from every foul spirit, including every spirit of insanity, in Jesus' name. Because you said very clearly in your word, "Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be delivered." And as your priest, under my high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I plead and sprinkle the blood of Jesus, putting the name of the Lord Jesus on Pedro, spirit, soul, and body. And Jesus said, as a priest, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. As one of the priests, under our high priest, the Lord Jesus, I plead and sprinkle the blood of Jesus. And it says in Numbers chapter 6 that the priest could speak this. So I speak this to you, Pedro, in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance, his presence, his smiling presence. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken in Jesus' name. And the Lord said, I will do it. I will bless you. He said, I will bless you. And that's in number 6 at the end of the chapter in the Old Testament. Maybe I'm going to just turn there and make sure I didn't miss a little bit of it, because that was from memory. It says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And I put the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the name of peace, because he's the Prince of Peace, on you, Pedro, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. And the Lord said, I will bless you. He promises that in Numbers 6:27. I'm not making this up, because every scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So I know it's true, and he's going to do it, and you just have need of patience that you may inherit the promises. And I thank you, Father, for your promises in your word. In Mark chapter 16, you said, no deadly thing shall harm us. And I thank you, Lord, for believers. I say no deadly thing shall harm Pedro. We cancel all, Dr. Sabrina's already canceled all the side effects and every specific one in Jesus' name. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shall be condemned in Jesus' name. Because your righteousness is not your own. It's not because you're such a good man or a good whatever. It's because he gives you his gift of righteousness because of his blood, because he loves you and washes you from your sins in his own blood. And it's that blood that the enemy can't stand, which is why you might be a little uncomfortable, but it's not you. It's just the spirits, because they know they've got to go. In due time, they will all go. But right now, I bind every spirit of insanity.
Yeah, they're manifesting things now.
I cancel their assignments to Pedro right now. I bind every spirit of insanity, personally
really
and
like
generationally,
said,
in Jesus' name. They may not manifest. They can only be bound with supernatural fetters, thrust in individual cages. I have nothing further to do with Pedro. And I command them not speak to him anymore in Jesus' name. Put gags in every one of your mouths in Jesus' name. You may no longer speak to Pedro in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you, Satan, every little spirit, in Jesus' name. I bind the strong man. I bind Satan and all of his power in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus loves you perfectly, Pedro. And it says perfect love casts out all fear. So you don't have to be afraid of me. You certainly don't have to be afraid of Dr. Pat. She's a loving, sweet lady. You don't have to be afraid of Dr. Sabrina or anyone, because you are perfectly loved, and perfect love casts out all fear in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your perfect love. You said, no greater love hath any man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You call Pedro your friend in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God, we ask that you take the Holy Spirit and seal his forehead. And take dominion of his mind. In the name of Jesus. No devil can look at it. We release the fire of the Holy Ghost into that mind, burning, burning, burning every attaching spirit out of that mind. Father, we give you praise and glory that he belongs to you. And we are claiming his territory today to be delivered. And Father, we give you the glory and the praise that you are big and powerful. For God has not given Pedro a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
found by God, total deliverance. He delivered Brother Marshall many years ago, and he can deliver Pedro, too. And I've seen him deliver other people. And so, Pedro, this is not hopeless. God is with you, and you just lift your hands up. And I want you to say, thank you, Jesus.
I bind up the nervous breakdown.
Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can Pedro say thank you? Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, and we release legions of warring angels around Pedro.
Yes.
And we expect in the name of Jesus that Pedro is free and that he will walk fearless, and God will infuse him with faith and infuse you, Pedro, with faith. And Father, we just stand with him. And we just ask that you put a rear guard behind him and a front guard in front of him, and that you surround him with your blood in Jesus' name and the fire of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we also ask that you build a hedge of protection around him. That hedge that you had around Job, God, that no snake can come in through that hedge. And Father, we give you praise and glory, and all of these spirits are tamed in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask that you walk him out of this day by day. We give you praise. Deja, how's he looking now?
How's he looking now? He's okay now.
Okay. Okay. Keep the word going and call us back Friday night, okay?
Okay. All right.
Okay. And everybody.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Everybody put Pedro on your prayer list. Make him a daily prayer in your life. And you know what? God will come in. And God will have his way. Amen. Now we have 208. You're on the line.
Hi, Pat. It's Nicole from Idaho here.
Hi, Nicole.
How are you guys doing? I just called in. I just want some prayer. I really am not sure what I want prayer for. I'm still having some pain issues, but maybe pray over that. But, Yeah, I think that's about it.
Okay, did you hear last week's blog talk?
The one on worship? Yes.
And praise the next time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. Brother Marshall, you want to pray for our
Thank
friend
you.
Nicole.
Nicole?
Yes.
So what specifically are you looking for from the Lord Jesus, that is?
It's a really bad connection. Hold on a second.
I'm going to turn
okay.
off while you're talking to her. I'll plug back
okay.
in.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. What do you want from the Lord Jesus?
Freedom.
Well, he offers it, right? He came to set the captives free, right? I think that's in Luke chapter 4, around verse 18 or something. And he does. And I was captive, you know, and there's certain little areas. Some of it you walk out day by day. And it is a process, like Dr. Sabrina was telling Pedro earlier. And it is a process. And we're all in different places. But just like the Israelites had to go into the promised land, they didn't take it all in one day. They had to conquer one area and then another. And it's okay, you know. And sometimes we feel like the Lord helps us and we make great strides, and then other times we feel like we might even slip a little bit, but then we regain the ground if we slipped a teeny bit. Because, you know, what is the expression? Three steps forward and two steps backward is still forward progress. We're still further than we were originally. So don't get discouraged. You know, don't beat up on yourself, because that's the enemy. That's one of his tactics. You know, he comes along and says, three, you know. So you can't go there. And in John 8, I'm just going to read it, and then we're going to pray together. But in John 8, where is it, Lord? Jesus spoke to his disciples, the people that were following him. Help me to find this, around verse 30-something. Jesus says in John 8:31, to those that believed on him, you believe in him, Nicole, right?
Yes.
Of course. It says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's verse 32. So it's a promise. You know, and all the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we come, Nicole and I and everyone who's listening in, and we'll be even listening in the future, anyone who recasts us that listens to these words, we come boldly and joyfully before your throne of grace, Father, because of the blood of the covenant, because you said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them, my Father which is in heaven. Father, we ask that you bring a greater and greater degree of freedom for Nicole from the past, from things that have bothered her in the past, from things that she's been struggling with currently, and that you bring her forward, Father, to where you want her to be, and that you set her and make her every whit whole and every whit completely free, Father, in Jesus' name. And I know Nicole and I are in agreement, because that's your plan. Jesus came that we might be free. So we ask you to do so, and we thank you for doing so, because you promised in your word, because Jesus only speaks the words you've given him to speak, Father, and you say that in the end of John chapter 12. But Jesus said, if two of you on earth, in Matthew 18:19, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven. Father, we ask you to give Nicole ever-increasing freedom from the wiles of the enemy and greater appreciation and understanding of who you are and your great love for her. In Jesus' name, amen?
Amen. Thank you,
Marshall. Amen. We'll just keep thanking the Father. Thank you, Father. Say thank you, Father. Because he's a really good dad. He's not like any dad people have known on earth. Even the best human father doesn't compare with his love. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, it's almost unspeakable that anybody would love us that much that they'd be willing to give that which they cherish the most up for us, even when we at one point weren't interested in him at all. At least it was in my case. Maybe you've always been interested in the Lord, but I wasn't.
No.
Well, God bless you, Nicole. Call
Thank
us
you.
Back.
God bless you, too. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to 214.
Oh, hello. I'm on another phone, so I didn't realize that all of a sudden that I'm already on, but I would like to... I'll let y'all know how I'm doing. Are you hearing me okay, by the way?
Fine.
Okay, because you're not coming in very clear. I've called in several times about my own health situation that I've had with the homeopaths, and my husband and I have been praying, and I've been praying, and we've had to go, had some really challenging experiences with them because they had put me on some homeopathic medicines that just crashed my adrenal and my thyroid and all that. And I had, you know, for a while wondered if I was just imagining this and if I might just be more of a hypochondriac, but I had some other opinions, and no, that's not the case. I'm not a hypochondriac because there are some things going on that they didn't see. But since I started communion a few weeks ago, I specifically started to pray to be delivered from these doctors, in particular from the homeopaths, because that I've been a real difficult patient for them. I've come through Lyme and Epstein-Barr that I had in the past, and my body is a lot more sensitive than most of the people that they have coming through that office. And if they give me some drops or something and they tell me the wrong amount to use, well, it causes a problem within my body, and I react mentally, emotionally to it, and, you know, it's freaking everybody out. And So, we've been praying for me to be able to part ways with them. But my situation is really not as easy as that. I can't just go to another doctor because these homeopathic medicines are very powerful. And I need somebody that is able to help me, help nourish the glands and bring me back to where they're supposed to be, but not with, perhaps with whole food supplements to heal those places.
Okay,
and
Marshall?
Yes.
Take care of this lady because you're a nurse.
Yes, sister. I have to tell you that I've been where you are to a degree in the past, and I used to think homeopathic medicine would be helpful in the past. And then I came across a more seasoned brother in the Lord who was able to share with me that the way homeopathic medicine works is they use dilutions, right? You're familiar with the basic premise behind it. And they take something and they dilute it and dilute it. That's why it is 10 times, or 30 times or whatever. And they dilute it down to where actually there's no physical material left anymore. And it is, it's the spirit type of thing. And it's not something that I think the Lord Jesus would endorse. Last time you called in and you were telling us about this wasn't working and it was contrary to the breakthrough you were getting during communion, and I was seeing that there are two kingdoms that are clashing, and your body doesn't belong to Satan anymore. And when you're yielding to homeopathy, it's a different kingdom. It has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate physician. He created, he spoke you into being. Everything was spoken into being, visible and invisible, by the Lord Jesus, like it says in Colossians. And like it says in the book of John, it says he knows how to nourish his body. Where is that? That's in Ephesians. He knows how to nourish his body. And you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, like it says in Ephesians 5:30. So you're part of the body of Christ. He knows how to nourish you. He says in the beginning of the Gospel of John, chapter 15, he says, he's the vine, and we, the body of Christ, are the branches. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So you have to abide in him, otherwise you have no life. Just like, on a grapevine, if you cut off the little branch, the little branches out from the vine, there's no flow of nutrients to it. So that's why we have to abide in him. We have to be connected to Jesus, okay? And he's also known as the root and the offspring of David. And it says, if the root be holy, so are the branches. That's how we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because we receive his life, his blood, his soul. We believe in his blood, his atoning sacrifice for us, and it covers everything. It physically, emotionally, spiritually, you don't need homeopathy is what I'm trying to tell you. And I know you're used to it, and it's a little hard, and it took me a while, and you may need to taper off of it rather than go cold turkey. That's between you and the Lord, okay? But I just want to tell you that I know in the past Dr. Sabrina was very gentle with you, and she said, well, if you find something and it doesn't work, well, then you don't keep doing it. And she was being very clear, I thought. And the homeopathy has not been working for you. It's been clashing when you're having communion because there's two different spirits involved. So don't go there if you feel, and ask the Lord about it. You have a relationship with your Heavenly Father through Jesus, then you go boldly before the throne of grace and ask for wisdom, because he promises us in the beginning of James, if any man, any person lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and abradeth not, and it will be given him. And I think I shared with you or suggested that you read a couple of verses, and I try to remember, one of them is in... help me, Lord, is in Jeremiah chapter 17. Where's Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 17, around verse 5. There's a couple of places that show the contrast, you know, what the Lord is looking for. See, he sees things differently than I do and than you do because he's God. But it says in Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Well, your heart's not departing from the Lord, so you're not being cursed there, okay? Well, I'm not here to heap condemnation. That's not my job. But I'm just trying to help you have a little discernment that we're not supposed to trust in the flesh of an arm. Even regular mainstream doctors, they do the, and I understand this because I'm a registered nurse. I worked in that field. Regular doctors, they do the best they can, okay? Whatever means they're using, and a lot of them do use pharmacy, you know? And the word for pharmacy comes from, I don't know if we want to get into that right now, but it's not a blessing.
Pharmakia.
Yeah, pharmakia, yeah. Sorcery, it's not a blessing. But anyway, you check that out, and where was it? There was another one that goes along with that. I think it's...
It's the one in Second Chronicles about Asa, I think.
Yes, that was the one. It's that he didn't go to the Lord at all. He only went to the doctor, and he ended up not doing well at all. So he died. So if you know, you think about the woman that came to Jesus and she spent all her living with the doctors and she still had the issue of blood, but finally she found out, wait a minute, who is this Jesus? Oh, he is the long-expected anointed one. He is the Messiah, okay? He has God's anointing on him, that anointing that removes and destroys the yoke of the enemy, like it says in Isaiah, okay? So she went against everything their culture said. A woman that had an issue of blood wasn't supposed to be out in public, and she definitely couldn't touch a rabbi, a teacher, okay? And that's she went out in public, and she touched him. And she drew that virtue out of him. And it says, as many as touched him were made whole. I think that's in Mark 6:56. I think that's where it is. As many as touched Jesus were made whole. When you're having communion, you're not just casually brushing against his garment. You are intimately touching him. Okay? And he can make you completely whole. I've heard a testimony about a woman, you've mentioned Epstein-Barr, about a woman who had Epstein-Barr. It's supposed to be incurable. This woman only took communion. She took it 3 times a day, and in 2 weeks, she didn't have Epstein-Barr anymore. The doctors, the regular doctors, were floored because that's not possible in the natural. But God's not natural. He's supernatural, and he loves you extraordinarily. And I know I haven't expressed this as well and as gently as I would like to, because he really does love you. But he's trying to help you understand that you don't have to trust, you know, in that way that you've been before. He has a better way, a more excellent way for you. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You go that way. You know, I know it's a narrow way. It gets a little tight sometimes, but that's the way to go. And there's lots of blessings in that way. Because I've been down the other road. I was a professional drug pusher. I mean, I wasn't pushing illegal drugs. I was giving out prescription medications. That was my job as a nurse, okay? And I thought I was doing everybody a favor, but some of that stuff had nasty side effects. I mean, yeah. I knew the side effects for a lot of it. And I know homeopathy is not supposed to have those kind of side effects, but guess what? There's a spiritual dimension here. It's a spirit, and it's not... It's not from the kingdom of light. It's from the other kingdom. I just want to warn you, it's not God's ultimately highest way of going. I'll put it that way. So you ask the Lord, he'll give you the wisdom, and he'll show you whether you need to taper down or whatever you need to do. And a ministry I went to, they showed us that, and I was one of these people, similar to this, I was taking many, many supplements. So many supplements, I hardly had room enough to eat natural food, okay? Because I thought the supplements were going to heal me. And supplements can be helpful, but you can't take them as a substitute for Jesus, okay? You can't take them as as the answer, because that's called idolatry. And God hates idolatry. He wants us to have only one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. We have to go to the Father, and he will answer all of our needs because he's awesome and he loves you perfectly. So you know, we have to be willing to go that way, and I know it's a little bit of a challenge, but it's worth it. It's worth it to find out, because it said he sent his word and healed them, you know, in Psalm 107, verse 20. And that's the answer. The answer is in the word of God, that because in the intimate communion you have with the Lord, it says by his stripes we were healed, not that we're going to be healed. It's already, Jesus paid the full price. By his stripes we were healed, and that by that stripes means because we're bruised together with him, that we were crucified. As soon as we can reckon ourselves dead to every sin, dead to taking anxious thought for tomorrow, dead to thinking the worst, and we start doing what Pat shared for the last two times the Blog Talk was on, about worshiping him and praising him, and he inhabits the praises of his people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for leaving a way for me to touch you, that I can be made every whit whole, completely healthy, and, you know, not just physically, but spirit, soul, and body. And it's available for anyone who wants to reach out and touch the Lord. And because it seems impossible to do so in the natural, but he left it as a supernatural way. He said, take, eat, this is my body. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. As oft as you do this in remembrance of me. We remember him because he's not dead. He's not a dead man out of mind. He's alive, and he's in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And and that's that fire that burns out all the nasty spirits, you know. Just like Isaiah 6, you know, it cleanses us from all the things. Because everyone's got to go through the fire. You know, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. And we have two choices. We either get to go through his cleansing fire, and he's really gentle, and he does it very nicely, okay? And that's partly of what communion's all about. We go through his cleansing fire, and he sends the Holy Ghost and does a wonderful job. He comes to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and Holy Fire, or we get to go to the other place, and I don't think anybody wants to go to the lake of fire in their right mind. So,
okay. Now, honey, this is decision day for you. Mm-hmm. What it is homeopathic is a witchcraft power. It is not medicine. Now, Dr. Sabrina is a pharmacist, and Brother Marshall is a nurse, and he told you just as gently as he could. Now, the decision's yours. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long you've been going with this and doing this.
A couple of years.
How many?
A couple of years.
All right. Now, I want you to say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For practicing witchcraft and sorcery.
For practicing witchcraft and sorcery.
Today. I repent. And I'm going to believe you to heal me.
I'm going to believe you to heal me.
I'm not getting healed under the wizard or the witch, whatever.
I'm not getting healed under the wizard.
Sorcery is not working.
Sorcery is not working.
And I repent.
And I repent.
And I take authority over sorcery in my life.
And I take authority over sorcery in my life.
And I break its bondages.
And I break its bondages.
And its powers.
And its powers.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
And every control.
And every control.
That person has over my life. I refuse to submit to it anymore.
I refuse
to submit to it anymore.
Now, can you name the drugs that you're taking?
The homeopathic drugs, I feel like I just cannot just cold turkey stop that. I did. They stopped me.
Tell us what it
is. A month ago. Huh?
Just tell us the names.
Okay. The pituitary drops. The serotonin helps me go to sleep. Then I have my hormones in the homeopathic. I just don't think I'm ready for that yet, cold turkey. I mean, I'm believing as good as I can.
What is the homeopathic?
The homeopathic drops for my hormone. My hormones come in homeopathic drops. Then the supplement to strengthen my glands come in drops. And let me see. Those are basically the most important. I already stopped taking too. We're actively really praying about this and have backed off some, but I feel like it's a walk, you know, it's a walk. Because we've gotten really close to the doctors and become actually friends with them too, so there's more bondage there. And that cold turkey, we tried that. It just almost ended me up in the hospital. I got so sick from it. So now we're...
Have you thought about changing doctors?
Yeah, and we have looked and talked to several. What we need is somebody we can afford.
Okay. You know, Dr. Sabrina, what do you have with her?
Okay, you have pencil and paper, dear?
Yeah. Hang on just a moment.
Okay.
I mean, there's no sense in praying with somebody if they're not willing to do anything. Okay.
Are you ready to write?
I'm ready.
Okay, Luke, 6th chapter. 46th verse. Proverbs, 8th chapter, 33rd verse. Psalms, 32nd chapter, verses 8 through 9. Psalms, chapter 85, verse 8. Now, dear, let me tell you something. At some point, your faith in Jesus Christ has to take the preeminence over your relationship to the doctor and your relationship to the drugs they've been giving you. At some point, you're going to have to choose which relationship you want, the relationship with Jesus Christ or the relationship with your homeopathic doctor. You cannot have both.
Right.
It's one or the other. So now you decide where you want to end up when your life is over. Do you want to end up wherever people end up that lean on people, or do you want to end up where people end up that lean on Jesus Christ? You are not the person... Oh, okay, I'm glad to hear that. You are not the person to determine how far you are along. Jesus Christ is the righteous judge, not you. He is the one who determines whether or not you can go cold turkey, three quarters, one half, one third, whatever. That's why Brother Marshall said, for you to seek wisdom from the Lord on how to proceed. However, sister, you do have to commit. You have to be willing in your heart and willing in your mind and confess out of your mouth, Jesus Christ, I want to be free at all costs. Jesus Christ, I want to follow you at all costs. Jesus Christ, you are my Lord. That means you dictate to me the particulars of my life. I don't take them on myself, but I follow you as my master, my sovereign Lord. You have to take that stand, and I have not heard that from you heretofore. So now when you decide that you're ready to walk on the water with Jesus, just like Peter did, you'll find out you can walk on that water with Jesus, because he'll say, come. But it's not until you decide. Peter had to do some talking to Jesus before Jesus said, come to Peter. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think so.
Okay. So now you and Jesus need to do some talking. And I firmly believe you need to do more listening than talking. And when you finish, you need to fast, and you need to do some committal prayers of committal to Jesus Christ. You need to do some prayers of surrender. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Listen to last Friday and last Wednesday's broadcast, and let me pray. I'm going to bind the demons. I will not cast them out because you have to make a decision, okay?
And to read you this book.
And Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift this sister up to the throne. I bind these sorcery spirits. I bind the powers of the witches over her mind and the wizard. And I cut her free. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, you know what her problem is. And you know that just because somebody puts a DR in front of their names or in behind MD doesn't mean that they can do these things to people. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, I bind their powers over her mind and her body. I bind the powers of the drug. And I ask you, God, that you open up her understanding to what you would have her to do. And we release faith over her tonight in the name of Jesus, supernatural faith. And Father God, she's talking like she's weak. Well, she might be weak, but you said in your word that you are, our weakness, you are made perfect. And Father God, I ask that you encourage her in her faith. And Lord, I ask that you have all of the people listening in to pray for her this week, and even some of them to fast. And let us hear from you next week, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. God bless.
His sister?
Okay, we've
got her. I want to encourage you.
In Luke, Joel, J-O-E-L, in Joel 2:32, it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Mm-hmm. So it's available. I've heard about people who were stuck on cigarettes, they couldn't get off. They took that promise. They said, I'm a whosoever. I'm going to call on your name because of the blood of the covenant, and I'm going to ask you to deliver me, and they were. So because they knew that, you know, spending a lot of money on cigarettes and putting that stuff in their body wasn't what they wanted to do as a believer, but they didn't know how to do it, so they asked the Lord to help them, and he did. So it's available for whosoever.
Amen. And now we've got
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, this is Fish.
Yes.
I just wanted to call for some prayer. I'll give minutes to you, minister to the sister before me. And I must confess that I was taking a lot, you know, of things that I thought were going to help me battle something that I've been suffering from for many, many years. And so now I'm learning that I'm going to just depend on Jesus. And I want some prayer. To continue to stay strong in the Lord, and also for the total deliverance and healing of the Lord.
Okay, Brother Marshall.
Well, we come before you, Father, according to your word. And I ask for this sister, we ask together that you'll totally deliver her, Lord, because you said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered because of the blood of the covenant, Father. And because Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Ask, and shall receive, that your joy may be full. So we thank you, Father, for that fullness of joy for Cassia, Lord. And in your presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is Cassia's strength. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you, Father, for keeping Cassia the apple of your eye. Thank you, Jesus, for engraving her name in the palms of your hands. Thank you for the good plans you have for her, plans for her peace and not for evil. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for giving your angels charge over, including the angel of the Lord that encampeth round about her and delivers her, Lord. We thank you for delivering her, Lord, from every ungodly thought, every ungodly spirit, and we command all thoughts to be captive and subject to the complete obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pull down all spirits of vain imagination. We hold every thought captive and subject to the complete obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, now and always, in Jesus' name. Because Jesus has purchased us, not just spiritually, but he's purchased all of us, including these temples of the Holy Spirit, including Cassia's temple of the Holy Spirit. What, no, you're not. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. For you're redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but the incorruptible blood as of a lamb without spot or blemish. That's the blood of the creator of heaven and earth. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. This is God, the God who became a man, and he shed his blood for you, because he knows without shedding of blood is no remission of sins. But all your sins are remitted, because he loves you and washes you from all your sins in the past, generational sins. They're all washed away by the blood of Jesus. And he continually doing this. Yes, it happened 2,000 years ago, but it says Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. It says in Hebrews 9:24 that he's in heaven now making intercession for us. It isn't just me praying to the Father for you. It's Jesus, because that's how I come to the Father, in Jesus' name. It's Jesus making the intercession for you, because he loves you perfectly. And perfect love casts out all fear. And every ungodly spirit of fear, taking anxious thought for tomorrow, we bind you, we counsel your assignments to Cassia, command you to have nothing further to do with her, go into the cage immediately, have nothing further to do with her, in Jesus' name. And we lock you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your perfect love that casts out all fear, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening her. Thank you, Lord, for keeping her. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for keeping her as the apple of your eye. You know, he is always looking. It's like a loving parent looking on a little sleeping baby. You know, he that watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's up all night anyway, so you don't have to worry about anything. You know, when you lie down, you'll not be afraid. Yes, you lie down and your sleep will be sweet, because he's watching over you, because he's got good plans for you, because he sent his angels to give charge over you. And you know, someday, this is hard to imagine, but it says someday we're going to judge angels, right? You're going to judge your guardian angel and the warring angel he sent to watch over you. So you're going to have to judge them and say, yeah, you did a really good job. Yeah, I remember that was a close call, but you delivered. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for giving your angels charge, because our battle is in the spirit realm, but that's why he's fighting for you, because you're worth it, because he purchased you with his blood. So thank you, Father, for redeeming her and delivering her and strengthening her, in Jesus' name. And we're all in agreement as well, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you,
Keisha.
Oxygen or something. I don't know. I was just breathing better. I don't know how to explain it, but I know that it's from God. So I just want to give glory to God. Amen.
Amen. We'll see you Friday night. Okay?
Okay.
God bless. Okay, Marshall, I need an agreement with you. There's several prayers. There's a woman that we prayed for a couple of weeks ago. She had a cancer removed. We got to continue to pray for her. There's another woman that I hadn't seen in a couple of months, and she's really swollen around the belly. I mean, very, very swollen. And her grandson is rebellious, and he's just come back home and gotten into school, and he needs prayer to keep him in school. Because, you know, you can't do anything without an education this year. And then there's another woman that's got, she's having some strange headaches. They're pepping up on her. I don't know, can't describe them to you. But then there was one other thing. Those four things, the headache. Well, let's just pray for those, and after that, what if it comes to me? Well, God, oh, I know what it was. Sunday at church, we had a lady to come in, and she had Alzheimer's disease, and we prayed for her, and we did a little deliverance. And we took her out to lunch with us, and she was speaking full sentences at the luncheon table. Mm-hmm. And there was just absolutely no question that God had touched her. And she looked Jewish to me. We don't need to know her name, but those are the prayer requests that we have. Marshall.
Well, Father, you've heard Pat's list of delineation of the different saints that have called in and asked for prayer, the different people that have asked for prayer, Father. And you said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them, my Father, which is in heaven. And we do come before you, Father. And we thank you for the many times you've heard our prayers, even tonight as I prayed with my wife that this Blog Talk Radio broadcast would go forward. It was not even a minute later that it started. And I'm so grateful, Father, that you always answer your promises that are always yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And, Father, we ask that you send the Holy Spirit to minister to each one of these, the lady with the swollen belly, to the rebellious son, to the woman who's had the words, Alzheimer word curse put over her. And we cancel every word curse, every assignment of the doctors and whatever they are. We cancel all the curses, the word curses. Because Jesus took our cup of cursing, Father. For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. For cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So through faith in the blood of the Lamb of God, Father, and by his stripes we already were healed. I ask, Father, you send your word and heal all these people, deliver all these people, send the Holy Spirit to grant them any gifts that they need, including if any of them need a gift of repentance, Father, including the rebellious a grandson, grant them the gift of repentance to the acknowledging of the truth that they will recover themselves from every snare of the devil. We bind every spirit of rebellion. We bind every spirit of infirmity. We bind every spirit that is set against the glory of the Most High God, Father God. For the Lord's sake, Father God, we ask you to deliver them. For the Lord's sake, Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask you to deliver each one, because Jesus paid the full price for each one of these, Father. They may not know it. They may not know how to quite reach out and touch the hem of his garment, Father. But, Father, you know how to reach them, because the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. So we ask you to send your word and heal them. You're no respecter of persons. Didn't you do that for the centurion's servant, Father God? He just said, speak the word, and it's done. So we ask you to speak the word. And I say, send the word and heal them, and it's done. Because you said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them, my Father in heaven. We ask you to save, heal, deliver, preserve, and make whole each one, and all those connected and related to them as well, in Jesus' name. And we're in agreement, are we not, Pat?
Yes, sir.
We are.
Okay, then we have it.
You, amen.
And I thank you, Father.
And you pray for Blog Talk, and we'll be in agreement for that, too. Pray for this new machine. I mean, that thing was, ads come up whenever I get on there and I lose the show wherever it is. I mean, it's this new program that they put up there.
Windows 8.
It's Windows 8, and it's just absolutely insane. And then this other computer doesn't have good sound on it. So, but pray for the computer situation, too. And me, pray for me that God will make me smart. Well, you go get you one, and I'll laugh at you, too. Go ahead.
Father, we come before you with thanksgiving, Father. We thank you for the spirit of adoption, Heavenly Father. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We thank you for all your perfect gifts, Father, that come down from you, Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Jesus Christ is the light who's come into the world. We thank you for that light. Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, Father. Because of the blood of the covenant, Father, we ask you for your favor, your grace, and your mercy for Dr. Pat Holliday and for the Blog Talk Radio broadcast, that it will go forth, that your word will go forth unhindered, exactly the way you want, when you want, whatever computer you want. And if there's any spirit of insanity involved in the Windows 8 program or anything else, we bind those spirits in Jesus' name. We command them to have nothing further to do and not have no further interference with the word of God going forth. In fact, we bind every hindering spirit, every spirit of voice, every hindering spirit that would hinder the word of God going forth, and every scrambling spirit, every hindering spirit, we bind you in Jesus' name. Can you go into individual cages right now in Jesus' name? We divide and separate, divide and separate, divide and separate every ungodly spirit sent on assignment against the Blog Talk Radio broadcast in Jesus' name. Command you to go into individual cages. We bind you with supernatural fetters and supernatural chains, for whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, as it is written in Jesus' name, the name above all names, at whose name every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Heavenly Father. Father, we ask for your favor and your grace that you teach Pat or whoever's involved how to get the right computer working the right way with a good sound, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for doing so, Father, in Jesus' name. And you did say in your word, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. And you said, and it will be given him. So we ask you to give everyone involved the wisdom they need, that this will go forth easily without any problem. We're not relying on the flesh of man. We're relying on your wisdom to be manifest through your earthen vessels. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Because Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I'm so grateful, Lord Jesus, we're not apart from you. I'm so grateful you're with us always, even to the end of the world. And we give you praise. And we do pray, Father, for all those involved with the Blog Talk Radio broadcast, those that have called in, their family members, everyone who's ever called in, Father. We ask, Father, for your mercy and your grace. You said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you'll be sozo. You'll be saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole, and your household. We ask you for family salvations, Father God, in Jesus' name, for everyone. And you said, this is my covenant with them. The spirit that I put upon you and the words that I put in your mouth will not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, Pat, nor out of the mouth of your seed, from henceforth and forevermore, even to 1,000 generations. We thank you for your faithfulness, Father, to 1,000 generations, Father, in Jesus' name. We give you praise and honor, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, and we're in agreement. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Brother Marshall.
And thank you, Heavenly Father.
Yeah, I thank you that he gave you to us.
Amen.
Because you are our friend.
Yes, you are.
And we're your friend. Amen. Brother Marshall, we love you so much. And thank you for coming up. God made up for the mess after we got on the air. He did a lot of work. I was on the television today and then the Blog Talk tonight. So we're getting the world going around the world. I mean, the word. And we had a wonderful service Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was just absolutely amazing, Marshall. When we cast the spirit of Alzheimer's out of that woman, and it left, and asked God to give her a sound mind, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit, her face just lit up like a Christmas tree. It was just, it's nothing but a demon. You know, I heard that on one of the shows that this doctor had a wife that had Alzheimer's, and she gave him coconut oil, and in about a month, he was totally healed. It's an inflammation in the brain, but it's also a spirit in the brain, is what I think. But it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful to see the Lord just totally deliver. And, you know, Pedro, everybody remember to pray for Pedro this week and fast for him. I ask God to seal his forehead with the seal of the Holy Spirit. And we've released legions of angels around him. And also ask God to put the, you know, in Job where he had a hedge built around him, and it said that even a snake couldn't come through, and we asked the Lord to put a hedge of protection around him. And we'll see you next Friday. I mean, this coming Friday.
Amen.
I'm excited about what the Lord's doing. We're close to 127,000 people now.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So we give God glory. Thanks for coming. Give Nancy our love. And we expect testimonies. Amen.
Amen. And we bind all spirits of backlash and all spirits of retaliation. Every spirit sent on assignment, we return sevenfold. That are sent to steal, kill, or destroy, return sevenfold unless they repent. In Jesus' name. And I plead the blood of Jesus over each one involved, the Blog Talk Radio broadcast. Thank you for being a wall of fire round about and the glory in the midst, in Jesus' name. And thank you for giving your guardian angels and warring angels charge over each of us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Love you, brother.
Love you, too.
A child of darkness.
I am Jehovah, the mighty God.